Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
So they had a game schedule. UCLA was going down to Miami to play in the Orange Bowl. It's supposed to happen in September. They had to postpone the game due to a hurricane.
Yes.
So Kate McNown was a quarterback for UCLA playing under Bob Toledo. Who's the wide receiver? He was Drew Bennett. Drew Bennett from out here in Miramonte.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the running back.
May have been on that team as well.
I believe he may have been on his team. And here's the joke. Mercedes Lewis might have been on that team.
That's a good joke.
But Kate McNown was sweet, though. He was sweet.
So they played UCLA last game of the season. And remember, we had regional packages.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't all watch the games like today.
No.
If you're Big Ten country, they got the Big Ten games. We got all Pac-10 games. But for some reason, they didn't air UCLA Miami on a local telecast. So you're getting live updates because Miami was number one. They're playing for a national championship. And they just kept saying, Edgerrin James with another big run. Edgerrin James. So anyway, they end up beating December 5th, 1998. I just pulled it up here. 49-45. And I had no idea who Edgerrin James was. And they just go, and Edgerrin James, the old helmet stickers on college game day, they gave him a helmet sticker. We had for $2.99 in that game. What the hell is that? $300? What? And they ruined UCLA's plans for the national championship. I think UCLA ended up going to the Rose Bowl, losing to Ron Dane and their Wisconsin Badgers in Pasadena. And that was the jump start back to bring Miami back to relevancy under Butch Davis. That jump started the program. So they've got, I mean, we didn't even talk about the 80s teams that are deep. Cortez Kennedy, Jerome Brown, Warren Sapp. I mean, come on.
The Edgerrin James, I don't know if it was Raw and Real or Real and Raw, whatever the ESPN the magazine cover was with him with the gold teeth on the cover.
Oh, yeah.
That I think Lebatard wrote the actual article. It's like one of the greatest magazine covers that I can remember from that era.
With the gold grills.
It was incredible.
It was incredible. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. We're geeking out on college football right now. KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Always found to wear. By the way, we're going to replay Patrick Willis. He was so damn good. We're going to do that at 9:20. We had to punt on Stats on Fire. We'll get him back on next week. I'm sure he'll understand. Patrick Willis, we're going to play that, replay that coming up at 9:20. But I don't know what it was. When I was growing up, Shasky, being here on the West Coast, like Cal Berkeley wasn't, they didn't have a big-time football program. Like they heard they was with Jeff Tedford or whatnot. Bruce Snyder, early 90s, they won the Citrus Bowl against Clemson.
Dirk Cutter didn't do it for you?
Dirk Cutter didn't do it for me. Stafford.
Tampa legend.
Stafford didn't have the best of programs at times, but I don't know what it was. When I used to talk to people about college football, people on the West Coast just wouldn't be into it. And I'm like, how?
I don't know. A lot of my friends were into college football.
So my circle,
like Young
is into
Guido
it.
Has always been a college sports fan.
Your
period.
Circle, maybe.
Yes.
My circle. But I'm talking about just random football fans. We're like, I didn't watch that game, but we were out doing this on Saturday. Yeah. Like Saturdays, I literally lost a job as an 18-year-old. I was in the kitchen. The poor guy, he probably remembers this to this day. I worked on a Friday night, and then I was booked for Saturday. My mom was like, you need to put some money in your pocket, blah, 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 blah. I was in the kitchen doing the dishes and all that stuff. And Miami was playing, Florida State was playing Florida, 1-2. I was like, there's no way I'm missing this game. And my mom was like, literally, you lost a job because you couldn't, you had to watch college football one Saturday. You couldn't sacrifice one college football game. I was like, no, college football is life. Waking up at 9 in the morning in November watching Ohio State, Michigan. Not a lot of people, Shasky, maybe your circle.
Well,
but a lot of people, though, weren't into college football like that.
Well, it's interesting because like I'm in an Irish Catholic family. And so who's on TV every
Notre
week
Dame.
For our whole lives? The Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And so like Rick Meyer, Jerome Bettis, Ricky Waters, like those, they were the one team I knew would be on TV every single week. And so that's one thing, we've always been a Notre Dame family.
Yeah.
Irish Catholic, you know, and you're a Joe Montana fan.
But I felt like I was always in a minority at times when it came to college football.
Well, the second biggest sport in the country, by far, it's the NFL number one, it's college football number two.
Right now, no doubt.
It's not even
close. Now it is, no doubt. Right now it is, no doubt.
But I think getting away from the regionality has actually expanded the game, and the screwed up conferences and everything just makes it actually wackier.
I love the college football playoff format. But also, the Niners were so good that I think everybody was, they had Niner fever.
That's true.
So they were like, Cal Stafford, we're not watching. We got the 49ers and Joe Montana and Steve Young and Jerry Rice and John Taylor and his litany of stars. I just always felt like I was in a minority, but I've always been a sucker for college football in the history of it, man. Sometimes it's had better seasons than the pro game. At times.
I think also, like, in the late 80s, eradicating a bunch of the smaller programs in the area, losing their football teams. The St. Mary's is, the Santa Clara's and all that. That kind of, like, zapped a lot of the college football fever.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sonoma State, Cal State East Bay.
How many of those programs lost football? You know, in like a 15-year period.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. The last time Miami visited Berkeley, they won 52-24, but I believe it was 24-17 at one point because OG Russell White, a long-forgotten Cal running back, was really good for the Cal Berkeley Bears, had this great play against the Miami Hurricanes back in 90.
Back deep, Russell White, Damian Simeon. White, the exciting sophomore, number 4, and it's going to be Russell White.
Gary Bender on the call, September 15th, my birthday, 1990, up at Cal Berkeley and in Miami. If you watch the 30 for 30, they started dancing on that turf and doing everything else in Cal Berkeley. They put on the show. Yeah, they love it. Boy, look at love it. He's so happy.
Hearing that highlight, you'd think Al Michaels would pick it up on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, get over it.
Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Ain't nothing you can do about it. He's getting his $11 million, and he's cashing every single check. All right, time for the Friday Flush. Take it away, Spadoni.
All right, this week we're going to be flushing a certain Los Angeles Laker head coach because it is time for the Friday Flush presented by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain Bonte. For all your plumbing needs, go to flowingwater.net. So obviously the Lakers and every basketball team right now, they're doing all their training camps, what have you. And a reporter yesterday asked one J.J. Redick about what Rui Hachimura has to do to take the next step, and I'll let the head coach take it away.
You're creating the narrative. You tell me. What is the next step? I don't care about what the next step for Rui is. I care about how he impacts winning on our team. And for me, that's my next step. Okay. Yeah, and I think he can do that.
You saw that out of him doing the Olympics?
Well, that's a different role that he can have on our team.
That was the Friday Flush presented by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. For all your flowing water and plumbing needs, go to flowingwater.net. I don't know why he was so upset about that question.
Yeah, and that was longtime LA Times writer, I believe, LA Times, Brad Turner, right? Brad Turner's his name. He's been covering the Clippers and Lakers for many, many years. And you got Anthony Davis on one end saying analytics. I don't even know what that stuff means. I'm just trying to score more points than the other team and grab more rebounds. All these analytics miss me with that. So I don't know about this hire. It's going to be very interesting. You don't need just be nice to these guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Just be nice.
He's just unnecessarily being a jerk.
What's the next level? What's the next level? You know what the hell the next level
and
is.
You said you're trying to create a narrative. I was like, he's just asking a question.
If you're like, well, can you? What do you mean? Like close games consistently? Do you mean like be a starter, take the next level in his individual performance? And here's the other thing that JJ better be very, very, very careful about. You know, I know that there's a team element. He's worried about his team winning. You also have to be invested into the individuals because the players want to know that, if you care about their careers as well, like they'll buy into your message. Yep. Like there's a lot of like, JJ, just be careful, dude.
Yeah,
you're doing easy. Way too much.
All right, before we replay Patrick Willis, our boy Dwayne Dibbs, shout out to Bart on X, tweeting at us here. And I brought up the Fiesta Bowl, Penn State, Vinny Testaverde threw 5 TDs. But his favorite moment of that 30 for 30 is when Jerome Brown at the dinner, the late, great Jerome Brown before the 86 Fiesta Bowl, he had a dinner with Penn State, and they're in Army fatigues, and he gets on stage with the microphone, and he yells, did the Japanese have dinner with Pearl Harbor the night before they bombed them? No. So what are we doing here? Fellas, let's roll. And they all walked out. Now, you can't get away. You can't say things like that in today's day and age.
Don't talk about that.
But that's what Jerome Brown said. And they all walked out of the dinner. It's like, what? Those Miami teams are so damn gangster. Holy smokes. Jerome Brown. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Sugar. We're going to sugarcoat a lot of things. We have sugarcoated a lot of things recently. As you can tell,
clean it up, drops.
Hey, why? We're not going to clean up. I'm just trying to get through the read. Playing Patrick Willis, Pro Football Hall of Famer, next on the roast.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California.
And it's plain to see, you can't change me, because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
That's a hell of a region. That's your age is very, very well. It goes well with this beat right here. Ryan, who's going to marry the lovely Sarah Solomon, who now works with the Golden State Warriors. I worked with her at NBC Sports Bay Area, does a lot of their video production. She does a little bit of everything. Remember, she called, and he was like, yeah, I want to announce my engagement on the morning roast.
Oh.
So you run into these roasters, it's like, no, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Like, I'm people are calling in master roaster, our boy Will in the city, a master roaster. What defines a master roaster? Are you an intermediate roaster? Are you a beginning roaster? A novice roaster? Baby roaster?
But I want to thank you guys, Shasky, and
are you?
I listen to you guys every single morning on the way to work. You guys make my morning drive way better.
Dude, that was a George Foreman roaster.
Well, 5-1-0. I love this, and I'm going to take a shot at him because I'm feeling good. And we're about to go back to the Patrick Willis replay here. 5-1-0. Aren't you a Bay Area station? What's up with this Miami hype job? How about some love for the home team? You ain't never texted us a day in your life about the Cal Berkeley Golden Bears. You ain't gave a damn about the Cal Berkeley Bears since Jason Kidd was playing basketball there. So miss me with
Sharif
that.
Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Like, stop. You don't give a... You probably wouldn't
Randy
even watch...
Randy Duck.
Ain't watched the Cal. You ain't watched Cal. Five Cal James games in the last 5 years. So stop.
But remember,
we're rooting for Cal, but damn.
Me and Bonte, one day, we were doing a show with an old producer whose name will... we won't name his name, but anyway, he came in one day and said, I'm just really worried. And we were like, why are you worried? I'm really worried that Justin Wilcox is going to get an NFL job. And remember, we were like, we'd start laughing. But he's, you know what? The guy's got it going.
Coach Wilcox. No, he goes, Coach Wilcox, USC should hire Coach Wilcox. Like,
oh,
what?
I thought he said an NFL team.
No, it was USC. The USC Chargers were like, dog, like, chill.
USC's big game hunting. All love to Justin Wilcox.
All love.
He's doing a good job with this program, Wilcox.
With all due, in the words of Soprano, with all due respect.
Right. You know what I'm saying? 408, a roaster is a roaster. Don't matter the experience level.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
So, you know, 5-1-0, I think he's going. No, he's not calling. But, you know, we're not hyping it up. Miami's coming to the Bay Area. We want Cal to win. We love Cal Berkeley. But give us a reason to talk about you. We talked about him beating Auburn. We gave him some love. We gave him some love for being an AC. But don't act like all of a sudden you give a damn about us giving love to the Cal Berkeley Golden Bears. I read one text about Cal. I've been at the station nearly 8 years. I see 4 texts about the Cal Berkeley Golden Bears. So just stop.
I've heard more about the 12U lacrosse team in Piedmont than I have the Cal Bears.
I heard more about the Cal rugby team than the Cal Berkeley football program, and that's no disrespect to them. And we had Wilcox and Lovie Smith come here. I sat down with both of those guys before the bowl game. Remember that? Lovie Smith came here with Coach Wilcox.
I think we've talked more Cal golf, former Cal golf players, and Max Homa and Colin Morikawa on the station.
Don't just charge
my swing.
Don't just start complaining just to complain on a Friday. Let us have some fun here.
My favorite is when Nahegan, the boss, that thing was like blowing up on the internet. He was like, Max Homa, roast me and my son. And I don't think Max ever responded.
No. Miami might lose tomorrow.
It's from the corner office. Or, what does he say? What's up, gamers?
5-1 making us other 5-1-0s look bad. He ain't a roaster. All right, anyway, man. I think Cal got they have a shot to win. That's the crazy part about it. It's a huge game. Late night. Things get a little wacky on the West Coast. Remember the old Pac-12 after dark? 7:30 kick?
No, because no one watched it.
No, that's a lie. That's a lie. We all watched it.
I love Pac-12 after dark.
Things are going to get a little wacky tomorrow, Berkeley. We get that. We get it. Woo, we can't wait. Can't wait. What a week in the sports. All right. We had a great morning.
What jerseys are they wearing?
Are they wearing all whites? Oh, Cal, you mean?
Yeah. The yellow helmets were really cool.
We could look after the Patrick Willis jersey. We'll have that intel.
Okay, perfect.
What jerseys will both teams wear this Saturday night in Berkeley, California? All right. Patrick Willis, Pro Football Hall of Famer. will receive his pro football ring this Sunday for Alumni Weekend with the San Francisco 49ers, the 74 team, the 84 team, the 94 team. I think Eel Williams is going to be out there. Larry Grant's going to be out there. He's coaching City College right now, City College of San Francisco. They're all going to be out there with their main man, Patrick Willis. And we had the honor to discuss that with Patrick Willis and reminisce about the old times with Patrick Willis right here on the Morning Roast. Take a listen. Another big weekend for Patrick Willis as he will receive his Pro Football Hall of Fame ring in front of the faithful this Sunday for Alumni Weekend for the San Francisco 49ers. We're proud to have him on the Morning Roast. Patrick, congratulations again for being a Pro Football Hall of Famer. One of our favorite players, Shasky and I, in the history of the 49ers. We've been watching this team since basically we've been born. I know you're feeling great. What was it like to be out there in Canton, Ohio? And good morning to you, Patrick.
Hey, good morning to you all, and very much appreciated. It was a wonderful time out in Canton, just being around all of the greats. Family, friends, teammates. Yeah, it was just an amazing time.
Being inducted or receiving your Pro Football Hall of Fame ring in front of the faithful where you played in your entire career here in the Bay Area with the San Francisco 49ers and all these teams kind of the 50th anniversary team, the 1974 team, the 1984 team, the 1994 team, all those legends that come see you receive your Pro Football Hall of Fame ring. That probably means more to you to see your teammates there to celebrate with you. Right, Patrick?
Oh, man, it's going to be a great weekend. The 49ers have a rich tradition, amazing history when it comes to the game of football. And just to have all the greats back, it's really going to be special. This weekend, it's not just about me. It's so much bigger than that. It's about all those, like I said, who came before me, who I inspired to want to be great, like, and bring a championship. Home, unfortunately, wasn't able to do that, but was very fortunate to play for a great organization, and he's very honored.
Well, you know, I've said this to Frank Gore, and I'm going to say it to you. I know you guys didn't win the ultimate one, but you guys were championship caliber players, and what you meant to guys our age and older at that era of Candlestick football it can't be expressed enough. What you've been to some great SEC stadiums, some great ones, some iconic ones. What did Candlestick though? What separated it for you from some of these other places? Because when I think of you, Patrick, I close my eyes. I think of you on one side, Frank Gore on the other, just laying dudes out.
Man, I just got the chills just now hearing you say that. First of all, shout out to Frank Gore. Just got inducted into the 49ers Hall of Fame. Very, very much deserving. Man, heck of a teammate. But Candlestick is home. They say home is where the heart is. And I just remember coming in 2007 and just wanting to make a difference, wanting to leave my mark on the game and to do it at Candlestick with the feeling that I now realize that, man, you can't replicate that feeling anywhere else. Candlestick to me reminded me of a true gladiator arena if I could ever have really played in one or performed in one, just because of the ambience, the way the faithful cheered for us, and it just felt tight. It just felt tight. And so I'll forever miss that place.
As Shasky mentioned, you played at Ole Miss, and we know about, we're West Coast boys, but we watch it on television, Death Valley, LSU, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the Swamp in Florida, Knoxville, Tennessee, Georgia, behind the hedges and all that. But what did you know about Candlestick before you played at Candlestick? Because you come out here to the West Coast from the South as a rookie, you get named starter in training camp at middle linebacker. What did you know about Candlestick Park? What was the reputation of Candlestick Park before you stepped foot on that grass at Candlestick Park?
You know, that's a good question. I didn't know anything about Candlestick. I just know that wherever I was drafted, I just wanted to go there and play my best ball and make it my home. And I can say Candlestick just gave off that gladiator mentality. Like, if you was not a football fan and you came to Candlestick, you would probably be tough, because it wasn't about, the entertainment outside. It was truly about what was going on the field at that moment. And it was just amazing to take that field with, like I said, so many who came before me, amazing players, to just be one of those ones who will be remembered or who is remembered for playing on that field as well. So, again, just honored to be a part of that rich tradition.
Pat, that 2011 team just meant so much to so many people. The way you guys came out of nowhere and just dominated. To this day, that defense is one that I hold in such high regard. And I know you're too humble to say yourself, so let's take you off, okay? Bo, Ahmed Brooks, Justin Smith, Alden, Ray McDonald, Isaac Sopawaga, Hawk, Hittner. Who was the baddest dude on that defense? If I took you off and you couldn't say yourself, who was the baddest dude on that defense?
You're gonna get Patrick in some trouble, man.
Man, what?
Because that defense, I know that the Saints game, everyone remembers. I think it gets lost in the sauce. The way you guys attacked the Giants in that game, in the rain, in that NFC, it's one of the great games I've ever seen. I still think it's an Ahmed Bradshaw fumble that they blew way too soon. And you guys were all over Eli in that game.
Yeah, you know, I'll say that, man, shout out to all those guys. When people ask me about the game of football and they, you know, say, Encore, come back. I'm like, can I bring back the crew? Can I bring back my guys? Because, man, what people don't understand, you spend a lot of days with your teammates. You know, you go through the highs, you go through the lows. And I wouldn't have been who I was had it not been for great teammates like Justin, Ray, Bo, Takeo, Isaac, Abrayo, I could go on. I mean, just Deshaun, so many guys. So I couldn't just say one, but if I am going to say one, I'm always about, you know, the elders. I say the elders, about the old heads. And I would have to say probably Cowboy. Cowboy. He was like, no other man. I have a great, great respect for all my teammates and great respect for him for how he came over to the Niners. You know, I was just my second year in the league, still – man, trying to still green behind the ears, trying to figure it out, and to have a teammate like Cowboy and TKO, I mean, those were ultimate teammates. And just shout out to all my teammates and coaches who I was able to take the field with, you know, share the highs and lows with, teach me the things that they did as they did. And so just very much, man, appreciative of this journey.
Yeah, Cowboy was sick. I mean, he made an all-pro team in two different positions. I mean, who does that, right? D-end, D-tackle. He was amazing. Justin Smith, that is. We're talking to Patrick Willis, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. He's going to get his ring in front of the faithful this Sunday when the Niners take on the Arizona Cardinals, number 52. And we can sit here and talk about all your great plays. The hit on Brad Smith against the New York Jets. The pick six up in Seattle where you go like 70, 80 yards, which was just truly iconic there. But it's one of the moments after a game that I really cherish. And with all your pregame speeches, when you turned it to a leader, Patrick, and you're like, we got to have it. You're giving us chills like Fred Warner does today. It was a moment I always tell Shasky about. You guys beat the Falcons in the NFC Championship game. You're getting interviewed by Fox after the game to go to the Super Bowl. And Frank Gore runs up to you mid-interview, hugs you, and you can see the tears flowing. Do you remember that moment? Because that moment right there was signified that you two guys who were with this organization, that was an afterthought for so many years, had finally got to the mountaintop and became relevant and finally accomplished something. Do you remember that moment, Patrick?
Man, you know what? I don't know what it is right now this morning, but man, you're making my muscles, making me, I'm getting chills for some reason. Like the muscles on the back of my neck standing up because I remember those times, and like I said, just what that day meant to us, us being those guys who had, you know, everybody in the locker room, but really, when I came in, like I said, in 2007, man, I feel like it wasn't the best football, you know, it was chaos. I feel like I was leaving college and coming to the pros just to have the same experience again. I remember being like, guys, you really, like, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to get drafted and come to a team that I'm going to feel the same way I felt when I was in college. Like, we're not able to win any games, but what makes it amazing is that we are the faithful for a reason. And I just remember telling myself, I'm going to work every day like it's my last, and we're going to turn this thing around. And if not, then I'm going to die trying to do it. Mm-hmm. And to see us, you know, like I said, have that big win, to turn around as we did, to experience the winning, to bring back that winning feeling, man, it made me feel as if I was a part of the old school, hearing about all the greatness that they did, because that was a lot that drove me, because I heard so much about and knew so much about the earlier teams that came before us. And I was like, man, I have great respect for them, and I want to be legendary like those guys. So in order to do that, you got to go out and win and not just get close. And again, that's one of those things, when you look back over your career, man, to have gotten to a Super Bowl, don't want to take that away, but, you know, you obviously wanted to win it as well. Because it just sounds good when you hear Super Bowl champion, Hall of Fame, you know, like, oh, right. man, that, you know, that's so, but I'm grateful, and again, just grateful for the journey to Canton.
You, like, represented being a Niner unlike anyone else. I mean, you're the class personified, giving everything on every single play. My brother's favorite player by far, my grandfather, who's been following this team since the beginning at Kezar, used to always say, Pat could play in any era on any team and be the best player on the field.
True three-down linebacker, Shasky. I mean, true three-down linebacker.
Just one of the baddest dudes ever. What was the most physical game you were ever in as a Niner? Because I'm thinking in my head like that. The NFC Championship game against, obviously, the Seahawks. Hawks up in Seattle was one that sticks out. I know you had that game in Green Bay in the frozen tundra where you guys won on a field goal. The game against the Saints, even though it was high scoring, Hittner laying out Pierre Thomas before the game even started. What was the hardest hitting game you were ever a part of as a Niner?
You know, I would say, I mean, you just named some amazing games too that was physical across the board. But I would say it was always something about playing Seattle. Believe it or not, when we played Seattle, in my last few years, you know, I started playing the dime a whole lot, was playing the dime a whole lot, and so having to do a lot of coverage. So there would be weeks when I would have to drop some weight because I'm like, man, I'm covering the tight end this week, and this tight end is very elusive, and so I have to be light on my toes. But it was something about when we played Seattle, even though they had the tight ends they had at the time, I still had to come in heavy than normal because I knew they was a run first. They wanted to be a run first play action team and having beast mode over there. Man, it was never a dull, not physical game. And so I would just say probably Seattle because I always felt like it was, it was something about that matchup.
No,
well, every game is physical.
Yeah, no, we know all about that matchup. We still can't stand Seattle. We can't wait for next Thursday. Cannot stand up, man.
Chancellor.
Oh, man. But it's truly one of the most physical, iconic football games ever, even though we came in on a short end. Patrick, I'm going to play the soundbite for you, and I want you to take us back through this moment.
Mm.
A special knock on your door. Take a listen, Patrick.
P. Willie.
Oh, man.
Willis.
Oh, man.
Welcome to the Pro Football Hall of Fame Class of 2024.
Man.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
It's an honor.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
Now, Patrick, I know you're a very humble human being. We know that from covering you and watching you play and knowing your backstory on how you grew up and where you came from. And I know the Hall of Fame, if you got there, you was going to be, you're ecstatic about it. I get it. If you didn't get in, you'll move on in life and have a great life or whatnot. But when you did get that knock and you saw Bryant Young at your door, who also is a very understated, humble human being, who's one of the greatest Niner defensive linemen of all time, take us back through that moment when you heard that knock.
Yeah, you know, it was a surreal moment when I opened. But when I got the knock, I just, so much came back. I'm elated beyond words because I just remember telling myself, man, so many greats came before me, so many guys who I think are, you know, worthy of, you know, being a Hall of Famer or even being talked about, you know, they're either not in or, you know, not. Yeah, they're either not in or just, you know, far away. And so I always just told myself that control what you can control. If it's supposed to happen, it will happen. And I just said, Lord, I'm going to keep the faith. If it's supposed to happen one day, it will happen. And so when that knock happened, and not, it was amazing because it was BY, but also because it was time. I didn't have to, you know, I didn't have to worry anymore. I didn't have to have that feeling of like, man, I feel like, you know, what else? You know, are you supposed to do, like, what, you know, other than just, you know, keep on going? But I'm like, the time came. And so, yeah, just so much, it was so many feelings that went through at that moment. But truly, it was just an honor and just a special day. And I'm glad it was BY. Because, again, I just remember, again, 2007, BY was one of those guys that was here grinding. And to have that moment and share with him, it was special.
You know, Pat, you mentioned Marshawn Lynch, and obviously when I think of that era, there were so many great running backs that you went up against, and there's so many great moments. You shutting down Adrian Peterson on multiple occasions, catching the Ladainian Tomlinson from behind, all the battles with Steven Jackson, who was a forgotten stud of that era. Who was the if Marshawn, I know Marshawn's on a short list, but who were the tough guys to go up against at running back? Because it felt like you had the ultimate combination of speed and power, and so you can kind of go up against any one of those guys, but who was the toughest for you to go up against?
Yeah, you know, truthfully, before, when people used to ask me this early on, I would say this, and I'm going to say it again. I would say Steven Jackson. Going against him twice, you know, in my division, big guy, he had a jump cut, he could run, he could stiff arm, and I just always remember telling myself, man, when you get there, you got to come with it. I mean, I'm coming with it every play, but most definitely with him. And I'm like, and watch out for the stiff arm. Get ready to swipe, tackle, swipe, tackle, swipe, tackle. And so I just, you know, I enjoyed the battles that I had against against him. Like you said, for me, it was my mentality every game was either me or you. And if it's you, I won't be allowed to see it. If it's me, dust yourself off and let's go do it again.
You know, you had that Senior Bowl where Mike Nolan and Mike Singletary was there, and Singletary was all over you. And you kind of, we kind of had a feeling. It's like, you know what, Willis may be our guy. That picture, I never forget when they introduced you at your first rookie introductory press conference next to Joe Staley. So when Joe Staley retired, I think I posted that picture. It's like, wow, end of an era. And it's you and Joe Staley hanging up the jerseys. But what was it like playing for Mike Singletary? Because your pregame speeches, like, your pregame speeches became a thing of legend. Like, we play Fred Warner stuff, but then you're still, like, spitting, and you got spit everywhere, and just, we got to have it, and this guy Shasky's getting pumped up, I'm getting pumped up. Who inspired those? How did you walk into a pregame speech? Did you do what you were going to say? Did it just come off the top of the head? Take us through that, Patrick.
Yeah, you know, I would try to write. When I first did it the first time, I was like, all right, cool. I thought maybe next week someone else was going to get it, then another captain, and then someone else. But before you know it, it was me doing it, you know, back to back, and I was like, oh man, like, I got to think of things to say. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say. And so I would try to write all this. I would try to write all these things. And truthfully, when I got out there, right before it was time to, you know, call this up, I'd be thinking, like, all right, everything I wrote, I try to think about everything I wrote. But then it was this feeling that I would feel and that I would notice when I was looking at my teammates. You know, you're looking them in the eyes, you're feeling the aura, you know, you're feeling the vibes, you feel in the mood, and I would just look at the guys, and it was just my soul would come alive, because, man, I'm not out there just playing just to be playing. Like, it means something, and I would just speak from the soul and, you know, just let it out. And, you know, what you guys felt was my authenticity, my passion for the game, and that's why I knew, you know, when that time came that it was getting time to step away from the game, because I didn't have that same pat, that same something. And so, you know, I cherish those moments. I cherish those times. And again, I mean, playing for someone like Coach Singletary, it was intense, but I was very fortunate to have him, because I remember this, and I was thinking about it the other day. I remember the game we played. It could have been my first game at Candlestick. We played against the Cardinals, actually. I think the Cardinals
was actually Monday Night
Football, right?
Yeah, Arnaz Battle scored a touchdown.
Yeah, Monday Night Football.
Yeah, so it was either that game or it could have been a ladder. But I remember, man, my rookie year, I would get these feelings where I'm like, I think I'm about to pass out. Like, I would literally, like, be out there and be like, I mean, starting the game, I don't know if it's anxiety or something. I was like, man, I feel like I'm about to pass out. And a couple of times, Derek Smith, he's like, hey, Rook, you okay? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be all right. But I remember this one time being on the sideline, and Coach Singletary looked at me. You know, he always had a thing where he would look at me like, Pat, you good? Let's go, son. You know, you're going to put in the work all week. You ready? And he looked at me. He's like, Pat, you okay? I said, Coach, I think I'm about to pass out. He said, you okay? I said, Coach, I think I'm about to pass out. And he said, Pat, calm before the storm, son, and you are the storm. And I'll never forget when he told me that. I remember saying to myself, you know what? You're right. I've put in all this work since I was a kid. Since I was a kid, all the way through every level. I was like, I'm supposed to be here in this moment. This is my time. Take a deep breath. Go out there and get it done. So, man, having Coach Singletary to be very intense, but just as it was intense, you know, it was an honor to have him because of what he was able to do, just being him.
I love
that. And Shasky, he had Mike Singletary introduce him or induct him to the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame 2 years ago.
God, I love hearing these stories, Bill Willis. I appreciate your time with us. One more before you get going here. Like, when I see Jerry at the stadium, it still feels like he's part of the team. And I love how involved he is with the team and hanging out with the fans. And I've seen you a lot the last couple years at the stadium. And so that's awesome because, I mean, Pat, you are a Niner. And you will always be a Niner for Niner fans. You mean so much. You're around the team a lot. How often do you talk to Fred Warner? Because I've heard, you know, Fred always references you. And I've heard you referencing him in certain interviews. And I'm just curious what your guys' relationship is right now. And as someone who is at the stadium a lot, what's it like to see somebody kind of, you know, like number 54 roaming the middle of the field? I mean, they're very different than the way you played, but I mean, he's holding up that tradition of middle linebacker the way you did.
Yeah, man, shout out to Fred. And yeah, it's always a pleasure to be around the faithful, to be around the Niners. And so always grateful for that. But yeah, man, seeing Fred ball the way that he's balling out there, it's tremendous. He has been doing it since he's been in the league. You know, I'm a big fan of him and Dre, the combo that they have. Dre has missed. But, yeah, man, Fred is all pro so far this year. I mean, he's, you know, starting off well as a defensive player of the year candidate. You know, I'm rooting for him. That's a, you know, that's an accolade that, you know, I was not fortunate enough to win in my time, but I'm most definitely rooting for him that he can continue to have this great season that he's having. But man, shout out to him and everything that he's doing and the way he's been leading the Niners since the day that he's got in. And again, I'm just rooting for them to go ahead and go get it done because, you know, it doesn't get any easier as the years come, but he's most definitely doing it at a high level.
Oh man, it's going to be fun on Sunday to see all the alumni come out. The 74 team, 84 team, 94 team, all of Patrick Willis' teammates. Hopefully, most of them can make it out there to Levi Stadium. I know Ian Williams is supposed to be out here. Shout out big Ian Williams. I miss him around here. Larry Grant's going to be all those guys, man. Navarro Bowman. Chargers play this week? Chargers, do they have a bye? So, Navarro Bowman, maybe Jim Harbaugh makes an appearance this Sunday for Alumni Weekend.
Oh.
But congrats to Patrick Willis. He's getting his Pro Football Hall of Fame ring in front of the faithful this Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. With that said, we got a lot going on here, Shasky. A lot going on. You can replay that interview. Go to the Odyssey app. Download that bad boy. Go on YouTube at 95.7 The Game. A lot of fun with Patrick Willis for 20 minutes. We could have done another 20 minutes with P. Willie, one of the best linebackers in 49ers franchise history. All right, should we do four down territory? We got, what else do we have? We got call of the week.
Let's do call of the week. We only
call
have time
of the week
for
first.
Territory.
All right, call of the week. We can do quick four down territory. Call of the week first.
Sam's
call
just not week. Prepared.
No, that's what I think. BPA, good morning.
Let's go.
Beautiful day. Yeah, it was like the Walking Dead of Farhan Shills on Twitter yesterday, just trying to put him down for good.
they won't die, yeah, right? Hey, they won't die. They multiply.
It's amazing. Buster's really going to need to go in there and clean house on the front office, get those burner accounts out of the building. But you know, hey, congrats to you guys, though. Right, you guys had the guts to put a stake in the ground early before really was popular for anyone else to, and there really should be consequences for Bags and all these guys just completely reversing course. And all of a sudden, this guy that they just absolutely shilled for years, now it's, you know, Farhan doesn't have social skills or doesn't understand how to, just, anyway.
Oh, man, that was a call of the week. Caller to the morning roast. And if your call is better than the rest, you could be named the caller of the week, too. This week's caller of the week. Is it his first call of the week?
I don't know. That was a great call.
He's had a couple.
He was toasting us.
Oh, man. Maybe we give an award for the most calls of the week. I don't know. But BPA.
BPA is winning something at the Doobie Awards this year. Unlike last year.
Yeah. I mean, you wanted to give him Roaster of the Year. I was like, whoa, I ain't got tight here.
Well, it's not that we wanted him to be Roaster of the Year. It's that he won Roaster of the Year, but then there was a change at the last second to make a Gene.
There was a La La Land Moonlight kind of scenario. Uh-huh. Shout out the Oscars from a few years back.
Exactly.
Four down territory. Let's do a quick one.
When the stakes are high.
It's scary hours for teams out there playing the 49ers this year on Sundays.
A and you need a play to be made.
I'm afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
You are in four down territory. The four biggest takes of the weekend on the Morning Roast.
There was a meme on the internet that said, post a picture of what IDAGF or whatever, I don't give a. And it was a picture of Garoppolo with the ball in his hand pointing at
him. I thought it was one with his eyes closed in Super Bowl 54 when he threw the pick and he closed his eyes and just chucked it.
Sam, first down.
First down.
All right, guys, first down. If we got to go fast here. So if not the Niners, where does Devontae Adams end up?
Oh, I'll say Jets.
I'm going to go wild card here. I'm going to go Saints.
I'm going to agree with you, Shaska. I think the Saints.
I think he's going to the Steelers.
I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to say Buffalo Bills.
Oh, that would be dynamic.
Shakir's out this week against the Texans.
Next. Second down.
Who has the worst quarterback situation in the NFL right now?
Oh, it's the Carolina Panthers. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, you're playing Andy Dalton, for Christ's sake.
I'm going to say the Miami Dolphins. You got a $200 million quarterback who we don't know what his brain is right now, Tua Tagovailoa, and you're out there playing Snoop Huntley. I'm going to say the Miami Dolphins.
It's not even close. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. They're getting Jimmy. They had Jimmy last year that made Devontae want to quit, and now they bring in Gardner Minshew, who makes him want to quit again. So it's the Las Vegas Raiders who lost to your Carolina Panthers, and Andy Dalton, by the way, got destroyed.
I can't believe that.
I think I would either go the Dolphins or, you know what, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who also dumped a bunch of money on a quarterback that you look at him now, it's like Trevor Lawrence, oof, buddy, I'm not liking
that. I was going to say Clemson, maybe.
It's third down.
Guys, we're a quarter of the way through the season. Who's your MVP so far?
Sam Darnold.
Oh, wow.
Same ghost.
Whoa.
He's offensive player of the month in the NFL.
I'm sticking with Josh Allen.
All right.
I, too, will go with Josh Allen. He's carrying Buffalo right now.
Did you see what happened last week in Baltimore?
It's one game.
Have you seen what Sam Darnold has done in four?
Yeah. There's also another, 13 weeks.
I've said right now the MVP. Yeah, through
and
four
I'm,
games.
And I'm going long term.
Wow,
I still believe.
You guys just hate on Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think Kevin O'Connell is coach of the year currently.
Through the first 4 weeks, I think Brock Purdy has been a top five quarterback. And if he continues this, he will win the MVP.
I like that.
Yeah, but the question was, third out, who's the MVP through the first 4 weeks of the season?
I think Brock Purdy has been the most impressive quarterback through the first 4 weeks of the NFL season. So I'm taking Brock Purdy.
If the Commanders make the playoffs, Jaden Daniels is going to be in that love. Mix.
All right, fourth down.
Fourth down.
You guys are just in love with Josh Allen. Jeez.
A little bit. I said Brock Purdy.
Not you. Yeah, no,
I'll wear it. So fourth down.
I love Josh.
We go from MVP. So a lot of people like to do LVP, but I'm going to switch it up. Who's the least valuable coach right now in the NFL?
Antonio Pierce. Gosh. I mean, guys are leaving him. I mean, what are we talking about here? Are you kidding me? He's clearly the fourth worst coach in his own division.
Oh, man, the least valuable coach.
I mean, come on.
The LVP right now, though?
I would put Eberflus on a short list, too.
Matt Eberflus is right up there, but I'm going with a shocker. Right now, Mike McDaniel down in Miami doesn't look like he has a lot of answers, and he looks a little dazed and confused.
Speaking of woke and coke, he looks like a coke dealer.
Shout out Miami.
It is sad, but it's true.
I'm going to throw our favorite punching bag out there, Nick Sirianni, the clown show that he's got going up in Philadelphia right now.
We need him to keep winning, though.
And I'll take the obvious. The only team that has not had a win this year is the Jacksonville Jaguars and Doug Peterson. Yeah, he's on the hot seat.
And he threw the players under the bus. Sometimes players got to make a play. All right, Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the Morning Roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
My final thought is, I always get a kick out of these random numbers from the 415-650-628-606-561. It's the same text. Bonte Pollard got a rocket sleeveless shirt to Cal Miami like he's Pat McAfee getting camera shots all show during ESPN College Game Day. It's the same guy texting from different area codes like I walk around like I'm worth $1 million. My final thought is Cal Berkeley is going to be fun tomorrow. It's going to be very, very fun for you and Cal.
My final thought is that the Niners have to win on Sunday, and they have to stay hydrated. Stay hydrated, people. Get the IVs out early. If I was Trent Williams, I would do a preeminent IV before the game starts so he doesn't miss any snaps. I mean, I mean, jeez Louise, you'd think he was a king. Trent Williams the IV.
Oh, man.
There's only one king.
There is only one king.
Yeah, my final thought, my final thought is...
so good.
I'm super stoked for Cal Miami. For everyone going, let's have some good vibes tomorrow. If you're going to College game day, get there early or else you'll be standing way back in the crowd. I'm excited to see what that's going to look like on game day tomorrow on TV. They got a great place there that they picked right in front of the library on campus. So I'm excited for a very, very fun one tomorrow. I hope Miami wins because if I have to sit in the stands and watch Cal storm the field, that's going to be very, very sad.
Sam, it will be the oldest crowd in College game day history.
There's nothing. Don't discount the Cal students for showing
up, man. Let
me
just tell you something. My nephew just graduated. 50,000
students
from there.
On that campus.
The students don't care about football. Newsflash.
Okay, well, when you go to the game tomorrow and you see that packed student section, they're going to be giving you grief for it. You bought this on yourself.
They will not be giving you. It'd be like the nerds stare off like they do.
Cal Twitter, I know you're listening right now. At ButcherBoy415 on Twitter. Hey. Do your thing, Cal Twitter.
Hey, Cal student section, Cal Berkeley, I can't wait to meet all of you. I cannot wait to meet you. Master Roaster here. They call me the King of the Bay. I'm not really a king in my own damn household. I, Bonta Hill, love the Cal Berkeley fans. You guys are passionate, intense. I know what you do. Go do what you do tomorrow and make the Hurricanes feel like they're a long way away from Miami, even though they really are.
I think a streak's coming to an end this weekend, boys.
We're streaking in the quad?
One of the great streaks that no one talks about in the NFL. The Raiders have beaten the Broncos 8 straight times.
Oh, God.
8 straight. They
that
haven't,
is a streak.
Since they've moved to Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Raiders have never lost to the Denver Broncos, which is a stat.
What?
I think they get their first one on Sunday in Denver. And Bo Nix might throw for negative 40 yards and they'll still win.
You know,
because I have such little faith. No Max Crosby, probably. He's been dealing with a high ankle sprain. It's not a good time right now for the Silver and Black Boys.
The New York Giants had lost 12 of 13 to the Cowboys.
Well, they lost 13 straight, right?
No, it was 12 of 13. Was it 12 of 13? I couldn't believe that.
No, I could. They've been awful.
You can't sneak a couple wins.
Hey, by the way, I want to do Bonte's best bet starting next week. My best bet this week is Seattle over the New York Giants. They're going to bounce back on a short week.
Down.
Malik Nabers is not playing. He's out due to the concussion. Hurts my fantasy teams. Malik Nabers not playing. Lock of the week, Seattle. I don't even know what the spread is. Lock of the week. And that's just for us. Where is my read? It is right here. That was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Have a great weekend, Roasters. We'll see you on Monday. Will the Niners win? Will Cal win? Oh, and by the way, Warriors preseason opener today. You can see LA Clippers out in Hawaii. I will be watching preseason basketball. Let's go. As we're saying out loud, Shasky and I, that we both believe this team could make a deep run in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.